So I want to begin with an incredible statement by the Mata Ephraim. So I put a little bit of a biography over here on number one. The Mata Ephraim writes as follows. Mata Ephraim is a sefer that is comprised of the halachos of Yamim Noraim. And you can see it's Rav Ephraim Zalman Margulies lives from 1762 to 1828. So let's begin. Mirosh Chodesh Elul Ve'elach, Heim Yimei HaRachamim Bahaslichos. So from Rosh Chodesh Elul and on, these are days of Rachamim, compassion, slichos, forgiveness, vimei ratzon. V'yesh l'chol adam la'orer libo b'tshuva, v'lasos l'chaper eis asher chata ala nefesh miyom heyoso. A very profound and overwhelming statement. And what should a person do over the course of Chodesh Elul? Person should be ma'orer libo. What is ma'orer libo? Awaken your heart. B'tshuva, v'lasos l'chaper es asher chata ala nefesh miyom heyoso. How would you translate that phrase? What do you have to do? You have to tshuva on what? On what? Any thoughts?
From the day he was
born. From the day he was born. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Why?
Because when we can't respond to the
one. So first of all, number one, so remember, Matthew Ephraim is saying something incredible, which is you have to do tshuva on everything from the day you were born. So first of all, you're not liable for the things that you did necessarily from the time of your birth. Right? Remember again, whether it's from Bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, potentially at the age of 20, liability comes in different stages. What else is problematic about this statement? Excellent. So this, not our topic, but it's something I want you to think about, because in Emirat Hashem, we will speak about it sometime closer to the Yamim Nora, maybe during Aseret Simchat, depending on what our class schedule is. The notion of doing tshuva for things that you've already done tshuva for in the past. I've committed averos in the past. I've done tshuva for those averos. What is my level of liability vis-a-vis tshuva for those things? So again, for argument's sake, for illustration purposes, I committed, we'll call it Avera A. Avera A in the year 5778. So came Rosh Hashanah 5779, Yom Kippur 5779. I did tshuva for that Avera. Baruch Hashem, over the course of 5779, I might have committed averos B, C, D, E, and F, but Baruch Hashem, what didn't I do? A. I was a chozer b'tshuva. I did not again commit avera A. So the fundamental shaila becomes, in Rosh Hashanah 5770, am I obligated to still do tshuva for avera A? Or do I say no? That was last year's tshuva. I did it. I did not go ahead and repeat that avera, and therefore again, I am done. So it appears to be clear that the Mata Ephraim holds that what? What would you say? What does he hold? That you have to do tshuva again. Which again, you'll file that for a little bit. We're going to come back to that in a couple of classes later. But this notion that once you commit the avera, the responsibility for tshuva of that avera may in fact go on for how long?
Forever.
It's possible that once I commit an avera, I never stop doing tshuva for that particular avera, even if I have not repeated it, even if I have not relapsed. Nevertheless, I continue to go ahead and do tshuva for that avera. So just keep that in your mind. But that's not actually what I want to draw your focus to. Now, before we go on, let me ask you this question. When it comes to Chodesh Elul, and in general this time of year, what's the greatest challenge? I know this is an open-ended question, but from your perspective, this is not your first Yamim Noraim. What is the greatest challenge when it comes to Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Seder Simi Tshuva, Yom Kippur?
Keeping focus.
Keep. What do you mean by that?
Making sure that you're doing
so good. Keeping focus, making sure that you're internalizing and doing everything you're speaking about, learning about, davening about. Excellent. What else?
Being happy that we have.
Beautiful. Being happy. This, by the way, is an incredible idea. We're going to speak about this a little bit today because, you know, sometimes people have an incredibly fundamentally flawed conception of the Yamim Noraim. You know, people think that how can you tell if you're a good Jew? How can you tell if you're a good Jew during Elul, Aseret Simchat, Shabbat, Hashanah? How can you tell? Like, the more miserable and scared you are, that's like the test of your piety. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be miserable. He doesn't want us to be living in fear. He doesn't want us to be tittering about. He wants us to be besimcha. So there's a simcha in judgment. There's din. There is din. And yes, judgment can be overwhelming. And there is din b'cheshbon, and we're judged for anything and everything. But there's a simcha in this din. Excellent. So making sure that you hold on to the simcha. I can't tell you how many times it happens that people have such an aversion towards Elul and the Yamim Noraim. Why? Because they've grown up with the conception that it's a fearful experience. Most people don't enjoy fearful experiences. Yes? That works maybe for the Gedolim. Right? But for regular people, it doesn't work. Right? Most people cannot and will not actively choose to live in fear for a month and 10 days. Right? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands about who would sign up. Fires off, you have a great offer for you. I want you to live in fear of life and death for the next 40 days. Who's in? Right? Everybody's going to sign up for that? So remember again, the fact that Gedolim, great people, feel a certain ema and pachad in a different way, that's because they're on a different level. But for the common person, what links you most to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a feeling of yira, it's a feeling of simcha, a feeling of ava. Yes?
So then how do you explain the sad tshuva of ava?
I'm sorry?
Like in Shari Tshuva, one of the steps is to have fear.
So daiga is not fear, right? Daiga is worry. Worry is very different than fear, right? I'm worried about my life. I'm worried about what's going to happen. I'm worried about what's going to be. I know life and death is being decided. But again, when you approach it from a position of simcha, everything becomes something positive. I know that I have averus that I have to rectify. I know that there are shortcomings in myself that I know that are flawed. But I know that I want to do it because I want to become the best version of me. Not because I'm afraid that if I don't do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to strike me dead. He might. It's true. But my motivation for lifting myself up and advancing myself is not out of a fear of death, of punishment, of a patch. The motivation to make myself great is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has endowed me with so much koach, so much ability, and I want to become the best version of me. So you get to the same place. The goal is to become the best version of yourself. The question is, what's the catalyst? Is there a yira? You know, Rabbi Yitzhak Averdichev. And this, of course, is very, very paradigmatic of the Derech HaChasidus. He said, we often translate yira as fear. Yira as fear. But there's a better word for yira, he says. What's a better word for yira?
Awe.
What's the difference between awe and fear? We often use them synonymously, but the truth is they're very different words. The Rebbe says, when you fear something, what's your reaction towards that thing? You distance yourself from it, right? Meaning, I fear fire, so therefore, by definition, I'm never going to get close to fire. So, Rabbi Yitzchok says, why would we want to employ the concept of yira in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Meaning, again, the hope, what's the whole job of the Jew? What's the whole essence of our life? V'davakta bo. Do every single thing I want to do. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit. All I want is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All I want is closeness. All I want is connection. That's all I want. Like David HaMelech says, Achas sha'alti me'ez Hashem osa v'akeish shifti b'veis Hashem. Right? If you notice, David HaMelech doesn't say shifti b'chatzar Hashem or shifti next door to Hashem, shifti two blocks away from Hashem, shifti b'veis Hashem. What does that mean? That's closeness. That's togetherness. So Rabbi Yitzchok says, the better word for yira rather than fear is awe. When you're in awe of something, what happens? It's on a pedestal, right? When you're in awe of something, if you're in awe on someone, you don't go over to them and throw your arm around and say, hey, what's up? Right? When you're in awe, that thing that you're in awe of, you look up to. See, he posits that's what Yiras Hashem is. Yiras Hashem is not simply fear. There's always fear in every relationship. Every relationship has to have some element of fear. Children who respect their parents also have an element of fear in their parents. In a marriage, an element of fear, positive fear, not fear someone's going to hurt you, but fear I don't want to lose the relationship, therefore I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that it works. There's always an element of fear in every relationship, but fear is not the motivation. There's an awe. I am able to look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not just from a distance, not just from afar, but there's a closeness. So finding the simcha in these days is incredibly important. What else? What else is the difficult part about Elul? No one has any difficulties in Elul, Baruch Hashem. I'm the kind of you all. Yes.
There's a difficulty in the sort of the wrong type of tshuva, the kind of like self-blaming type of tshuva, that like where you look at what you did and you say, I did so much wrong, and just focus on the wrong.
Excellent.
And you know, when everyone's talking about, oh, focus on your past sins, and then that can be difficult for some people.
Beautiful. Person can begin to think, unfortunately, if you do an inventory of your chatam and averus, a person can begin to think that they're broken. And sometimes a person feels so broken that they feel they're beyond repair and salvation. Excellent. That's the concept. A person could have yeyosh atzmi. Right? Yeyosh atzmi means, I give up hope in myself. I give up hope. There's nothing I can do to possibly fix myself. Excellent. Yes?
Is it okay to feel like the extreme opposite? Like actually proud of what you've done? Like over the year, like let's say you've accomplished a lot of goals and being like, I'm coming in, I'm actually proud. I'm not so much
absolutely. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. You know that the Zohar brings down, it's actually quite beautiful, the Zohar brings down that for the Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, for everything you clap an Al Chait for, you should also tell HaKadosh Baruch about all the good things you did. Absolutely, you have to be proud of your accomplishments. Yamin Noraim is about introspection, is about self-evaluation, it's about where I'm holding in life. If you're only going to speak about the things you did wrong, that's only one part of your personality. There's all the positive stuff that I did also. And not only that, by recalling the positive things you've done, that gives you the chiyus and the chizuk to continue to build on that. Excellent. What else? Yes?
It's hard to choose one tiny Kabbalah.
Excellent. So this is what I want to focus on. This one is with the Matei Prime. Excellent. Focus. Where do I start? Right? Where do I start? And this happens to a lot of us over the course of Elul. Meaning Elul comes, okay, I'm going to take out my little spiritual journal. I'm going to go ahead and write down all the things that I want to work on this year. And by the time you get to the fifth page, what happens? You're feeling a bit overwhelmed. Feeling a bit overwhelmed. Now, this happens a lot of times. What happens with 98% of New Year's resolutions? I don't mean January 1st. I mean, what happens with 98% of Rosh Hashanah Yomim Noraim resolutions?
Nothing.
Right? If you're right, most of them are already done by Shmini Atzeres. If you're really good, maybe you make it till Hanukkah. If you're exceptional, Tu Bishvat, and Mamash, if like you're among the Mitzuyon, and maybe Pesach. But most times in life, we don't gain traction on the things we want to accomplish. And often that's because, not because of a lack of will or a lack of ratzon. It's often because our attention and our focus is diffused. Where do I start? What should I do? There's 50 things that are important, but what is it that I start with? Yes?
Well, I kind of disagree that it has no impact, because whatever you do, even for a short time, still impacts.
1,000%. We're talking about large-scale impact. Right. Any person has a Kabbalah and they observe it for one day, there's a positive impact on that, 100%. I'm talking about the fact that a lot of times when it comes to Elul is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's an incredible opportunity for Simcha, closing out one year, beginning a new year, filled with optimism and hope about what the coming year is going to bring. On the flip side, for many of us, there's a recognition that a lot of the things that I wanted to accomplish, I didn't accomplish. A lot of the things that I said I was going to change, going to do, going to improve, going to stop, I haven't. And then I ask myself, well, why haven't I? I'm a good person. I'm trying. I didn't spend the year in bed sleeping. Right? I was proactive. I tried to do what happened. So there's a lot of reasons why we don't accomplish the things we want to accomplish. But sometimes it's because of a lack of focus. Because no one could move 50 things forward simultaneously. Most of us are capable of moving one, two, maybe three things forward. When you try to move too much, as Chazal tell us, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Try to hold on to too much, you end up with nothing. So the Mata Ephraim says something amazing. He says, v'ha'eruni rayonai, kitofu l'sadr han hagos hayomim, excuse me, hisnagos hayomim makidosh malalu, limtso nofesh l'rabim v'mnei amenu ha'tarchim, ולא נחם מאמל ימים ותרדוס ליבם ומאינם חס המטור בלימודו המקור האיתן וחליפוס הזמנים וליבם חומה בהגיע תר קידוש השם מאילה נסקרם כי איס לעשות להשם ונפשם שוקקה לרוץ אורח בנוסף יושר. So the Matei Ephraim writing his own perceptions, what I see in people is that this time of year comes along And people don't know what to focus on. People don't know what to do. Where should I start? Where should I start? There's a million things that are important. There's a million things that are necessary. There's a whole bunch of things that I have to change and improve. Where should I start? So what happens? Often when people don't know where to start, what occurs? They don't start. They get overwhelmed. This happens to all of us, right? A lot of times you ever have a situation where you have a lot of stuff to do. It could be anything, school, home, whatever it is. You get so overwhelmed that you just simply do nothing. Now, of course, it doesn't make sense, right? It's illogical, but that's what happens. We get overwhelmed, and often we just shut down. That happens spiritually all of the time. It says the Mata Ephraim, when have I seen this most occur? Because unlike the Yamim Norah, we're spending a lot of time in shul, and I know what I have to do. There's Shachris, there's Musaf, there's Mincha, there's Tashlich, there's a Seuda, there's a structure to the day. Chodesh Elul, it's like business as usual. I'm going through the regular activities of daily life, but somehow my mind, my heart, my approach to life is supposed to change. But I don't know where, I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know where to begin in all of this. And therefore, says the Matei Prime, I see many people who just simply get overwhelmed. And when most of us get overwhelmed, we just simply shut down. So he says the marriage, and a lot of times people don't necessarily have the time to sit and to learn and to look in the Svarim, the Sifrei Musar, other Svarim, to understand where should you start your journey of cathartic change? Where should you start your journey of self-improvement? Therefore, the Rabbim Omrim, this is what do people say? Mi yar'enu derech kitzara. What does it mean? Mi yar'enu derech kitzara? Shortcut. But by the way, this is not a bad shortcut. What the Matei Ephraim is saying is that many people say, listen, I don't have the attention span, I don't have the time, I don't have the ability, I don't have whatever it is, I can't learn all there is to be learned. So what I need is someone to give me a roadmap. Give me an Elul roadmap. Give me an Elul roadmap. He goes on, he says, So ultimately, again, derech hamelech nelech lo nata yamin usmo. Says the Matei Ephraim, and this is a very beautiful introduction also because the Matei Ephraim is speaking about the inherent goodness of people. People want to be good. People want to do the right thing. People don't want to sin. People want to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just a lot of times, A, I'm overwhelmed by all the stuff I have to do. And B, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. So the Matei Ephraim says, people say, oh, if only you could just give me a shortcut. Not a shortcut that I'm not willing to do the work. But give me a roadmap. Tell me what it is that I have to do, and I will do it. So the Matei Ephraim then goes on to explain the incredible roadmap of Chodesh Elul. What is the roadmap? And he does something absolutely amazing. We know that there are multiple Ramazim. So I just want to point out that, I don't know if you, hopefully you feel that, I will tell you, when I read a piece like this, written in the late 1700s, early 1800s. So to me, it's very validating. Because sometimes we do a little bit of like historical revisionism. Like we think that everyone in the shtetl was pious and learned and crying with Elul and this and that. And like us, niskaknu hadoros, we're so terrible. It's very validating to read a piece of rabbinic literature like this that says people are people are people are people. They've always been people. Elul has always been a struggle, right? Being overwhelmed is always a struggle. Not knowing where to start is always a struggle. And I just want to point out, just so you understand the Maramakum, this is Matei Ephraim, Sif Aleph, Simen Aleph, well, Simen Tav Kuf Pe'ah, but it's the beginning of, this is the first paragraph in the Sefer. It's a big Sefer. The first paragraph in the Sefer is, I know, everyone gets overwhelmed. And when people get overwhelmed, they shut down and they do nothing. Our goal in the beginning over here is to develop the roadmap. It's a simple roadmap. Is it the totality of the Avoda of El Yomim Noraim? Of course not. There's much more that's what's written here. But at least what does it do? It gives us a springboard. It gives us a start. So what the Matei Ephraim then does is something really amazing. We know that there are many acronyms for Elul, right? Many different psukim in which we find the name of the month Elul. So a lot of times we see these things and we think to ourselves, what's the deeper meaning? It's cute. It's very nice. It's a remes to Elul. It's a remes to Elul. Right? Like the gematria of egos is fate. So we don't need eggs. So, you know, we don't need egos. Like, it's cute. Okay, fine. The Baal Tefraim says, Chazal don't do cute things. When you find something in Chazal, it means that there is a deeper fundamental message that encapsulates the totality of the experience. So the Mata Ephraim Pas, let's take a look. So we find that there are four different Ramas in Te'elo. The truth is there's more than four, but there's four that he deals with. Let's go through them. Perhaps the first well-known one, most well-known one. Number two, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And here I underlined if you can see the acronym. I am to my beloved is to me. Shira Shirim, that's number one. Number two, we're going to go through each of these. Well, let's just first point to put them out. Number three, Umala Shemes Levavcha, Ve'es Levav Zaracha. Actually, this week's parasha, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. So, Es Levavcha, Ve'es Levav Zaracha. Hashem will literally give a bris milah to your heart, to the heart of your offspring. Li'avas Hashem Elokecha B'chal Levavcha, B'chal Nafshecha L'man Chayecha. That's number two. Number three comes from a very interesting place. Va'asher lo tzada, ve'elokim ino liado, v'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. Where is this from? What's the subject here? Ir miklat. Ir miklat. Someone kills someone else accidentally. That's what it means. Asher lo tzada. Someone did not kill their fellow Jew intentionally. Ve'elokim ino liado, literally translated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided his hand. B'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. I will give you a place, i.e. ir miklat, that you could flee to. Ina liyado besamti lecha rashitavis chodesh elo. Interesting. And the last one, number five, actually doesn't come. Well, it comes from Megillah Esther. The pasuk says, end of the Megillah, Kayamim Ashenachu Bama Yehudim Ayveim Vachodesh Arnepach Beogim Osimcha Meibel Yom Tov Lassos Osimim Mishtev Osimcha Umishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu Umatonos Li'Evionim. Reference number four to Chodesh Elul comes at the end of the Megillah. Mordechai and Esther establish the days of Purim as a day of Yom Tov, a day of Mishta and Simcha, and Mishloach Manos Shalach Manos, Ish L'Re'ehu, man to his fellow, Umatanos L'Avyonim, and gifts to the poor. Ish L'Re'ehu, Matanos L'Avyonim, Rashi Tevas Elul. So the Matan Ephraim does something absolutely amazing. And what he does is he shows, so these are all very, okay, very interesting, thank you, fascinating. I'm sure some of these you've heard, maybe you've heard all of these before. The Mata Ephraim says, in general, when you see Chazal do these kind of things, find these allusions, these scriptural allusions to Chodesh El or to anything else, Chazal are trying to teach us something. Right? What do you think? That they just decided, let's find the remez, let's... By the way, I'm sure you could find many other Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed sequences throughout the Torah, or throughout Tanakh, if you put your mind to it. I'm sure you could. These are the four that Chazal isolated. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, es levavcha v'es levav zarecha, ina liyado v'samti lecha makom, ish l're'ehu umatanos le'evyonim, which tells us, as the Mata Ephraim, that embedded in these four allusions are four profound messages for Elul as well as the Yamim Noraim. So let's begin to go through them. So if you take a look, turn the page in number six. Let's begin. I'm sorry, the lines got a little bit misaligned. Anila Dodi Vidodili. So perhaps again the most well-known Elul allusion. I am to my beloved is to me. So if I were to ask you, Sunu, what's the message in this? What's the Elul message in this? What would you say? What's the message?
That
Elul is an opportunity to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excellent. Meaning what? What does it mean it's an opportunity to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That it falls into the motif of, perhaps the motif of, Dirshu Hashem Behimat Zo. We have this concept. You know, like I'll give you an example of this. The Rambam writes that in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has a very interesting model of definition of tzaddik, rasha, benoni. In the Maimonian model, the Rambam's model, what's the definition of a tzaddik?
Rose Chivas.
I'm sorry? Rav Zchuyos. It changes. The truth is, it's not the Rambam, it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Kedushin says this. Rambam says the definition of a tzaddik is 51%, which, by the way, is dramatically amazing. Right? Who would ever define a tzaddik as a 51%er? If you have 51% averos, 49%, I'm sorry, 51% mitzvos, 49% averos, you are a tzaddik. Definition of a rasha? Right? Rov averos. 51% averos, 49%. Benoni? 50-50. So take something interesting. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, I should have put this in your sheet, I apologize, something amazing. The Rambam says, if somebody is a Benoni, now the truth is, this is very important because although I have to view all of you as a tzaddik, as tzidkanios, right? You have to view me as a tzaddik. When we look at ourselves, we view ourselves as, how? Benonim. Not Rishon, Chas V'Shalom. Benonim. I'm a Benoni. I have a lot of good. I also have, unfortunately, a fair amount of not so good. So I view myself as a Benoni. So the Rambam says something amazing. The Rambam says, if a person is a Benoni, so what's the halacha? Imasa tshuva. If you do tshuva, then you tilt the scales and you become a tzaddik. Lo asa tshuva. Ultimately, again, you're a rasha. So the Magid Mishnah and others, all the commentaries in the Rambam say, I don't understand, what does that mean? What does that mean? That ultimately, if you don't do tshuva, what if I don't do tshuva, but I give extra tzedakah? What if I don't do tshuva, but I go ahead and I keep another mitzvah? Why isn't that enough to tilt the scales in my favor if I'm a Benoni?
Well, because the avera of not doing tshuva is so great that any mitzvahs you do is going
to
outweigh.
So, Baruch HaShekivan. So, the Magid Mishnah says, to not do tshuva during Yamim Noraim is in and of itself an avera of such great magnitude. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us during this time of year in a way that is not experienced throughout the rest of the year. And to not failure to take advantage of that opportunity is in and of itself sinful. Which if you think about it, by the way, here the Rambam is really teaching us, it's such an incredible yisod. The Rambam is telling us that sometimes failing to take advantage of an opportunity is in and of itself the commission of an avera. We often think of averos as bad things you do. It's a bad thing. I spoke Lashon Hara. I was Mechal Shabbos. I eat tarfas. Those are averos. I didn't take an opportunity. I didn't seize upon an opportunity. Okay, that's not great, but is it an avera? And what does the Rambam say? Yes. Sometimes failure to seize opportunities in life is in and of itself the greatest avera. So on the most basic level, it could very well be that anila dodi, v'dodi li means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I'm making myself available to you. I am here. I am here. For the rest of the year, you right? I am here. Good. What else can anila dodi, v'dodi li mean? How else can you understand it? What's the dynamic? Think about the order of the words. What process is the pasuk describing? I'm sorry?
Mida kenegad mida.
In what sense?
How you act either toward other or Hashem, and how
can be. Beautiful. Divine reciprocity, right? Almost, if you put into the relationship, anila dodi, vidodi li. This, by the way, is an incredible, incredible idea. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh quotes on the pasuk of Hashem Tzilcha. So we often translate as meaning what? Hashem Tzilcha. How would you translate that? So very good. So often it's translated as Hashem is your shade. Tzel means shade. Baal Shem Tov says it means your shadow. What's the pshat? What do you mean Hashem is your shadow? What does your shadow do? Whatever you do. So our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is exceptionally important. Relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is whatever you put into it. Whatever you put into the relationship is what you are going to get out. This is very important because sometimes people say, you know what? I feel uninspired. I feel uninspired. What's the first question to ask yourself if you feel uninspired? What are you doing? Right? What are you putting into the relationship? Like any, by the way, this is true in any, this is not unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is true in any relationship. You will only get out that which you put in. Invest and you'll reap the benefits of the relationship. Don't invest and you'll get nothing. Anila dodi, if you invest, then ultimately again HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reinvest in you in kind. Yes.
What if somebody doesn't keep mitzvos or like is like a traditional Jew and like they don't keep all post Hashem is they consider themselves a spiritual person, like they pray a lot or something. So are they actually close to Hashem?
So remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each and every Jew in the relationship by Asher Heim Sham. So if a person could only be held accountable for that which they know. So a person is not brought up in a home or in a world in which they have an understanding and appreciation of Torah and mitzvos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ask of me is to try the best, my best with the tools that I have. So could someone have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even if they're not observing Torah and mitzvos? The answer is, on their level, absolutely yes. Is it a complete relationship? Again, I don't stand in judgment of anyone. I would think not, because at the end of the day, Torah mitzvos is the entry point. It's the way we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But is there a level of closeness for a person who doesn't have any of those things? I have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't deny entry into his heart and into his soul for any Jew. That's what I would think. But again, it's an excellent question. It's a Ribono Shel Olam question. But I would think that the answer would be yes. So let me think about for one more moment again. What about the progression? Anila Dodi Vadoli, what else do you see that's interesting about that? So what you put in is what you get out. What else? What else is interesting? Who has to make the first step in the relationship? Us. I want to show you something fascinating. If you take a look at number 6, there's another pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the other pasuk says, Dodi Li V'ani Lo. There's another pasuk. Dodi li va'ani lo means what? Good. Hashem is my beloved, is mine. Ribono Shel Olam is mine. Va'ani lo, and I am his. So which one is it? Is it anila dodi v'dodi li? Or dodi li va'ani lo? Which one is it? Do I have to take the first step in the relationship? Or does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take the first step in the relationship? What's the answer?
During the rest of the year, it's dodi li.
So it's quite possible. So the simple answer is, of course, they're both correct, right? Relationships take on different frameworks at different times. You can see this, by the way, in every human relationship. Right? Think about it: a husband and wife. That relationship looks one way when they're a chasen and kala. Looks a different way when they become parents. Looks one way when they're young. Looks a different way when they become old. Relationships evolve based on circumstances. In Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech is describing to us that our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam takes on different forms at different times of the year. It could be that throughout the year, our relationship is Dodi Li V'ani Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the first step in the relationship, which is actually quite amazing. Take a look at Rashi in number 7. Rashi says, Dodi li va'ani lo, hu kol tzarchav, tava mimeni, velo tziva li ela asu pesach, hachobo kitchu b'choros, asu mishkan, hikrivu olos, velo tava mu'uma acheres, va'ani lo, kol tzarchi tavati mimeni. So Rashi says, again, if you look at our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the year, pretty much, God gives me a whole bunch of stuff and asks relatively little in return, right? If you just think about it, if you take out a piece of paper and you identify all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you versus all the things that he asks for in return, there is no question that we have the better end of the deal. We get much more than what we have to give. The Malbim says in number 8, Dodi, V'yan shepo bais orus milamala limata. So again, I'm sorry, before we get to the Malbim. So according to Rashi, Dodi li va'anilo means that normally our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the giver, I am the recipient. And he asks for relatively little in return for that which he has given me. Okay, the Malbim says, Dodi li va'anilo means what? This is incredible. Look at number 8, the Malbim. V'yan shepoba his orus milamala limata. How would you translate this phrase? His orus milamala, excuse me, his orus milamala limata. What does that mean? Right. So this is very important. This concept, by the way, is this is a cornerstone concept in certainly in Zohar and Kabbalah and Chassidus. But you see, even the Malbim quotes it as well, who is not a Chassid. There's a concept of the Zohar calls it his orus dila'ila, his orus dilatasa, which literally means an awakening, a hisorus, an awakening from above or an awakening from below. Meaning, inspiration comes in different ways. sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down inspirational energy into me. You ever have a moment where you're just inspired? You don't know why you're inspired. You can't necessarily trace it to something particular, but you just feel inspired. That's called His Orusa Dele'ela. That's called the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a gift of His Orus. He gave me a gift of spiritual awakening, of spiritual inspiration. And then there's His Orusa Dele'tasa, which means a self-inspiration. A self-inspiration. Where, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. Nothing's coming down from the heavens. But I have to push myself to feel inspired, push myself to feel emotionally or spiritually awakened. By the way, I want to tell you something incredible. Do you know where you see this all of the time? In Tehillim. Tehillim, the Kapitel of Tehillim, often begin with two different types of appellations. Well, there are many different types. But sometimes you'll see Mizmor le David, and sometimes you'll see what? Le David Mizmor. What's the difference between those two things? Why sometimes Mizmor le David, sometimes David Mizmor? Excellent. So for example, excellent. Mizmor le David are kapitlach that David HaMelech wrote when he had to self-inspire. How did David HaMelech, the way David HaMelech often self-inspired was how? Music. Through Zimra, right? Through singing. So David HaMelech, when you see that kapitel, that's a kapitel that David HaMelech wrote when he just, not feeling it, but I'm not going to let myself not feel it. I'm going to self-inspire. Mizmor le David. Le David Mizmor our kapitlach when David HaMelech was inspired from above. His orusa dele'ela. Inspiration from above, and David HaMelech then comes and ultimately goes ahead and sings his kapitlach. Yes?
According to Rashi, it seems like the only time that is still duly first is for physical. Like Hashem gives our tzarchav, and then we have the...
Correct.
Yeah?
Correct, absolutely. That, and that's excellent ha'ara, meaning Rashi and the Malbim are coming from two different vantage points. Right, correct. Rashi's understanding it from the Gashmi level. The Malbim's understanding it from the Ruchni level. The common denominator is they're both understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the proactive partner in the relationship, and I am the reactive partner in the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts, I react. That's Dodi Li V'ani Lo. Watch this. Comes Chodesh Elul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this. Listen, here's the deal. End of the year, you're closing out the year. Some things went well, some things didn't go so well. You're going to want to ask me for another year of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to know that you are truly vested in this relationship. Truly vested in this relationship. How do we show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are truly vested in this relationship with Him? How? How? Before even tshuva. Before tshuva, there's a step before him. What's the first step? Let me ask you something. You ever have a disagreement with someone, someone who you care about deeply, and they ignore you, right? They don't talk. What do they want you to do more than anything? Talk to them, right? The greatest mistake that people make in relationships is they think that when someone is not talking to them, that they don't want to talk. But a lot of times, when someone is not talking to me, what they really want more than anything is what? Is for me to run after. I've learned this through many years of marriage, Baruch Hashem. I could tell you this as like MS, right? Sometimes when people don't talk, they don't not want to not talk. They want someone to come after them, and they want someone to engage. Baruch says, "Listen, I feel like I've given you a lot this past year. I feel like I've done a lot for you this year. It's been a year of Dodi Li V'ani Lo. I give you your Gashmius. I even give you your Ruchnius." We're coming now to the end of a year. You've had a year of life. You know, one of the things you have to always reflect on when it comes to Chodesh Elul, I often say this in my shiurim, that one thing we forget about Chodesh Elul is think about the things that you davened for last Rosh Hashanah that you got. You know, we often think about the things that we didn't get. But what about the things you got? The most basic thing you davened for last Rosh Hashanah was what? Zachreinu L'chaim. We got it. Each and every one of us had that tefillah answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many who don't. It's an incredible thing to think about. I dive in, you know, when you stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, and you realize what is being decided, and how the cosmos is being judged, and you realize that the truth is, I want life. Zachrinu L'chaim is not like hyperbolic, it's not a metaphor, it's literal. I want to live. I want to live because now I realize I sometimes take life for granted. I take waking up in the morning for granted. Give me that bracha. Isn't it incredible to think that here we stand, right, on your, what's today? Yud Aleph Elul, right? And what? Each of us here have been granted that bracha. Halavai, the bracha should continue throughout the end of this year and into next year as well. Meretz Hashem for all of us. But isn't that an incredible idea? We don't think about it. Because Baruch Hu answered my tefillos, okay, maybe I didn't get everything on the laundry list of bakashas. Okay, for a variety of different reasons. But I asked Zachrinu Lechayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, I will give you Chayim. So comes Chodesh Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, it's been a year of Dodi, Liva, Ani, Lo. I've given you a lot. I just want to know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, that you're vested and engaged in this relationship as well. Chodesh Elul is the month of proactive divine engagement. This is the month in which we go out of our way to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We go out of our way to do the things to foster and to bolster our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And this, by the way, takes on a variety of different forms. Yes, it's tshuva. It's also mitzvahs. For example, again, there's a whole notion of Kabbalahs during Elul and during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Whole notion, right? The most famous Kabbalah Shulchan Aruch brings down during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Pas Yisrael. Right, Pas Yisrael. So some people eat Pas Yisrael the whole year. Some people only eat Pas Yisrael Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It's always interesting, right? That here, you're going to take on a Kabbalah. I think we mentioned this in one of the past classes. Maybe a different shit. Take on a Kabbalah, eat Pas Yisrael during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What do you know in your heart? Not even in your heart. What do you know? You're not keeping it. I like my whatever, fill in the blank, right? So fine, I'll do this during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And then Matzei Yom Kippur, I'm going to eat whatever it is that I eat. And by the way, the halacha understands this. Not like the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, you should really take on Pas Yisrael for the rest of your life. Doesn't it? You should take on Pas Yisrael, ultimately, again, for Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It seems so disingenuous, right? As Jews, one of the things we value, that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu values most, is being a genuine person. Don't fake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like fakers. So be genuine. Okay, if I eat Pas Yisrael, fantastic. Don't eat Pas Yisrael, fantastic. Eat Chalav Yisrael, great. Don't eat Chalav Yisrael, great. What does it mean? I'm doing this for a couple of days? Yes. Because part of Elul and this experience is just going out of your way to forge connection, even if I know I'm not going to maintain and sustain these behaviors. Sometimes it's just, I think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm here. I'm vested. I'm going to go a little bit above and beyond what I normally do to show you how vested or how invested I am in this relationship. No. I'm not observing this past Yom Kippur, and I'm not taking on these behaviors or these halachas anytime for the rest of the year. But Chodesh Elul, you've given me a year of Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. You've given me a year of bracha. You've given me a year where you have come through for me. During this month and into the new year, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. I'm going to take the first step. Proactive divine engagement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has engaged us the entire year, and the Chodesh Elul is about taking a step forward to proactively engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I would tell you that this, by the way, is an incredible part of the Avod of Elul Yomim Noraim. What are you doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are you giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there are the things we do all the time, but Chodesh Elul and Yom Noraim is about stepping it up a little bit. It's about putting yourself out there just a little bit more for the Ribono Shel Olam. Lav Dafka, that you're going to perpetuate these Kabbalas or behaviors for the rest of your year. I don't know if there's such an expectation like that. Halabai, if you can, fantastic. But that Chodesh Elul is this month of proactive divine engagement. Dodi li va'ani lo. Push yourself forward in order to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in recognition that very often throughout the year, it's been Dodi li va'ani lo. In recognition of Dodi li va'ani lo, I take the opportunity to make a month Yamim Noraim of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. I will take the first step. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will engage you. I will go above and beyond. You know, we're going to stop over here for today. In Meretz Hashem, we'll see what we do next week. If we continue this, or this is really the piece I wanted to focus on. So we'll see if we build this back into Parak Shira. Maybe we'll just spend one more week in Meretz Hashem on this as well. Okay.